Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. As always, I am your hostess with the mostess, the Right Reverend Bobby Love, and he's accompanied, as always, with Mr. Rooney, Citizen Neil. How are we doing today?
Very good. Very hungover.
Very hungover. What kind of professionalism is that?
Happens when you're at a wedding, so the bar shut, and it was like, oh, the bar shut. And then it was like, but there's a fire pit. I was like, does that mean there'll be alcohol? But just sit down, somebody will give you a drink. So, I was banging. I don't know if anybody knows Coulston House, but it was down there. So I didn't have a room. I didn't have it, and I got one. So there was like a wee house out itself. There was people up the stair, and then there was one bedroom down the stair. So I found it during the day. I knew where it was going. Goes back 20 to 1 in the morning, because I looked, I tried to phone my mate. He couldn't get a signal either. I thought I was going to have to sit, like, sleep outside the field with the cows or something like that, because it was that bad. I'm banging on the door at 20 to 2 in the morning, trying to get in. And somebody come down and was like, Neil, sorry, we totally forgot about you. I was like, thanks very much. Hi, cheers. Went past it. Needless to say, I've had a hangover like this for a long time. So, anyway.
There you go. That's absolutely shocking behaviour. Behaviour.
We still do.
We need to catch me going out to the pub before we're doing a pod. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, I was going to say, at least I'll no. As I like to drink.
At least you could have walked up next to a queue. It might have been nice. Well, anyway. after that rather nonsense interlude, listeners, I can now introduce you to the man himself who loves a moan, Mr. Monks Ali Moncrieff. How are we doing?
Yeah, grand. Well, it's just been a 1-year-old birthday party for me today, so this is my first drink of the day, as you could possibly imagine. So much deserved, actually, I should say.
I can imagine. Well, right, listeners, I do believe that's us now in double figures. This is number 10, podcast number 10. We've done well to survive 10. We've not been taken off air or anything like that. Nothing libelous so far. So thanks everybody for keeping with us. Tonight we're going to kind of give a pre-season preview, a bit about the League Cup, maybe some signings, chat about Friday night's women's team, and anything else that comes up. So we'll start off with the League Cup games as we're kind of in the midst of them. First game was a 1-0 loss at home to Hamilton. I wasn't there, I didn't see the game. I was sunning myself at Armadale watching the Speedway. You guys watched it.
Yep.
How did they go then, Ali?
Yes, I was actually at the game, which was good. So my first time watching a proper game of football since, I think it was a 0-0 draw with Brechin, actually, and it was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my entire life. So it was better than that. So I think first things first, good to be back in the football. Things seem to go pretty smoothly in terms of getting to the stadium, all fine. We were able to use the grass bank behind the goal for the Hamilton fans. Again, that worked well. So that was good. So no complaints at all. The club were quick, professional. The new app for buying tickets worked really well as well. So that was good. Glad to see that up and running. So the fan base app seems really good. So it was, yeah, no complaints there. No complaints there whatsoever. Went to the game and seemed to, I think it was the first time in a long time, watched an Edinburgh City team where I was like, well, I barely know five or six of the players. We've had a really settled squad for a number of years now, certainly since kind of McDonough came in. But, you know, big turnover of players now, so wasn't really sure what to expect from a lot of the team. First half, Hamilton looked really good, really, really strong with. It could have been 3 or 4 up, to be honest with you. They looked well ahead of us, physically much, much bigger, and you know, kind of well set up. Everyone knows what Hamilton are like. You know, I know they've been relegated, but you know they're kind of model that doesn't really change much in terms of how the team play. They're an effective team. But second half, when Hamilton started to tie, I think that was actually their first game. I don't think they actually played any pre-season stuff. They just used in the League Cup as pre-season, so it wasn't many minutes in their guys' legs. We actually played really well. We played some really, really nice stuff. You know, good football, it was attacking some real pace, some real width. We kind of, you know, we were able to stretch the game and started to create some chances as well. We got guys in forward positions, which was good. I think we lost the goal in the first half. It was when we were briefly down to 10 men, which was unfortunate. Bronski had to go off injured and we hadn't had a sub on in time. But the one, I suppose, is as I text the group, you know, when we had the injury to Bronski, it ended up with Danny Jardim going to right back. And I think that said everything about where the squad is at the moment. One of our best central midfielders, one of our best attacking players was playing at right full back. So obviously that was a concern. But I went away surprised at how much I'd enjoyed being at a game again. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed it, I have to say, and just having a laugh, like just having daft conversations with the guys and just seeing folk. But I went away encouraged enough by the performance. It wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but there was enough there to think, actually, I can see what it's going to be a really different team. I think that's good, not just in terms of personnel, but in terms of the way they play. I think that's something we'll all have to. We've all been used to watching a team for a good few years now that has played a relatively, probably kind of a similar way. A lot of reliance on set pieces, pretty solid through the middle, don't overcommit, but, you know, are well organised and with kind of with a goal threat often from set pieces, with a couple of creative players up there to try and make a difference. As well, it's going to be really different than that. You know, much more pace, much more directness. You know, we've got wingers, we've got players that like to run with the ball. The midfield is much more fluid, much more fluid. And against a tiring Hamilton side, it looked tremendous. It looked really, really good for that second half. Obviously, we're not going to play tired sides all the time. It'll be interesting to see how that goes, but. It was, despite it being a 1-0 defeat, and despite it taking us until, I think, just about the last kick of the game to have an actual shot on target, which we should have scored from, I actually left feeling quite enthused about it. You know, I thought, actually, there is something to build on here. So, yeah, not a bad way to spend a Friday evening, all things considered.
Aye, Rooney?
I ended up watching it because the bowling was cancelled with the old COVID outbreak for our opponents, so... I couldn't get into the grounds around. I walked in the house and a bit like Ali, I thought we played pretty well without really creating anything. I wasn't overly impressed with him. I thought the goalie should have probably saved their goal, which is probably going to be a big problem for me. He didn't look comfortable at all. At times, made a couple of decent saves, but he still didn't look comfortable at all. So I think he should have saved. The Hamilton boys, he wasn't out quick enough for me. He should have been out to get that. So, and then the boy, is it Shanley, come on and he misses that chance right at the end. But that was our best chance of the whole game, if our only shot on target. So, yeah, played well for what we've got, played really well, but it's a bit worrying.
Aye, so there we are. Hamilton, I can't say anything about it because I never watched that. Never watched the highlights. There you go. Some fan, yeah. Anyway, right. Moving on, we had Ayr away on Tuesday, was it? Tuesday, Wednesday? Whatever day it was. A 3-0 walloping. We watched it on the stream. I thought we didn't play particularly well, to be honest. Looked maybe a bit short of bodies, apart from a couple of players. Callum Tappan, I'm particularly impressed. That pass he had in the second half was absolutely outstanding. I've been raving about it all week. It's just, his range of passing, even yesterday as well, man, is absolutely ridiculous. But we didn't start well. We almost conceded after about 30 seconds. The score that was probably coming, Goodfellow had a couple of good saves, kept us in it a little bit. Going forward, we didn't have a huge amount. Didn't really get Danny Handlin into the game. For some reason, the gaffer put Danny Jardine out to right wing, which I think we all know he's wasted out there. And then since moving, obviously, back at the midfield, it looked a lot better. They just looked a far, far better team. I think it showed we were short of bodies. We watched it together, Rooney. What do you think?
Aye, I completely agree. They looked far better than Hamilton. far, far better than Hamilton. I mean, I've watched the goals again. The third goal is just like calamity. Everybody, calamity Joe at the back, and just nobody like taking control and putting their foot through it, put the part from idols and all that jazz. So it's, again, it was a good test because there's only a couple of divisions above, so you think, let's see how good the guys are. But I don't know, it was strange to watch. It was quite disappointing to sit and watch, to be honest. More than my opinion changed dramatically from how to watching the air game. But I think we're going to say it through the whole pod, really short. Sorry.
Ali?
Yeah, hugely disappointing. Absolutely. I think Naismith said actually he'd wanted us to have more of an impact against the Championship teams, and that the group wanted to see us, you know, cause more problems than cause any problems at all. But they totally, totally outclassed us. I can't remember, we were kind of scrabbling about for, I know we've changed the systems for Man of the Match this year, so you have to have a top three. That was hard to get three out of that. Like, oh, yes, like, can we all go back to the old, just pick whoever's played central midfield system? But trying to find three players who had passed March for that was a real challenge. So, should be listening to players like miles off it. If either you are a kind of football manager or Championship manager players, but I remember when you used to be, if you ever lost your temper with the squad and you just went, I'm just going to sell everyone, I'm just going to transfer list everyone, get rid of them all, you're a dick, get rid of you. And you come to like the start of the season, you're like, well, I've not got any players, I've been an arsonist, and like, I'm going to get sacked. It felt like that. It just felt like a squad that was just, and it just, I think it'll be a challenge, and I know we're going to touch on this loads, but there's obviously huge disruptions to every squad throughout this coming season. It just feels not just short, but so unsettled. Like, just how are players going to get a run of games? I really don't know. We got outclassed every area of the park. We looked blunt. We couldn't stop them creating chances. We couldn't control possession. I don't think there's any positives to take from it. I really don't. Just been a hugely disappointed ones, and I think Naismith is disappointed as well. And he was right to be.
Aye. As I say, I think the only real bright spot was Callum Tappan and his range of passing. I thought McFarlane looked okay down the wing, and Goodfield had a couple of good saves. But apart from that, mince. That's the other way to put it, really. And I think they'll know that themselves.
Move on.
Aye, on to yesterday, Albion Rovers. I think I was the only one to watch it. I don't think there was many people bothered, to be honest. It was a roasting hot day as well. It was the warmest day of the year in Edinburgh, so I can probably forgive people if they weren't going to sit in front of your stream when they can go and sun themselves in Holyrood Park or Putney Beach or something like that, trying to avoid all the hooligans. Anyway, 1-1, we went down early doors, couldn't clear a ball, they bundled it in, we looked, I think, the gaffer said that in his post-match interview, we just didn't set up right for the set piece. It showed. We had a couple of chances. Ricky had one over the bar. Danny Jarlin had one over the bar. Hilton scored a no bad goal. I think it took a deflection apparently, but didn't quite look like that in the stream. A couple other chances. Then we lost on penalties. Unfortunately, didn't see all the penalties of the stream cut out just at the wrong time. Just at our very, well, it would have been the fifth penalty, which could have been the last. The stream stopped. And then we didn't get to see them. So we'll have to watch the highlights to see how the rest of them went. I think it went to 9 penalties or something like that. So that'll tell you what happened. The gaffer was trying to look for some bright spots. I think he was being nice, to be honest. Well, yeah. Maybe no. There was a couple of bright spots. I thought Danny Handlin played pretty well. He was looking to get the ball. He was coming deep for the ball. He was involved in all the good stuff, as was tapping. McFarlane, when he came for the first wee bit, played pretty well. Got substituted for no idea why, to be honest. As I thought, as an out ball, he was the one that looked the biggest threat. Defence looked a bit shaky. We're certainly missing somebody in front of them as a protector like Andy Black. If we're going to be playing a bit more direct and a bit more forward compared to how we used to do under James, then we're going to need somebody in to sit in, I think, to help the defence, and we've just not got that person at the minute. We need somebody in there. I don't know if that was meant to be Lewis Kidd, but he's starting to play right back because we've not got a right back. Again, I think it just showed the dearth of options that we've got. I think on the bench we only had Hilton, who was injured, who could really come on and change it. The young laddie Ferguson, who's only 17. And I think the rest were made up under 20s, I think, possibly.
Yeah.
If I can remember right. So, what, again, I think it just showed we're desperately needing bodies.
I mean, the highlights were up. The highlights were up about 7:30. It's like 29 now. So the highlights are up about then. So I've watched them and I've watched his interview. And it's like, the chances they miss is ridiculous. It's not like the goalie make world-class saves. It's like, it'd be different if you were just, they were on target and they were straight at the goalie. You go, oh, well, at least you have to make them work. Like, 2 or 3 of them are just blazed over the bar. I actually think, I don't want to sound too disrespectful, but I think using these penalties maybe just landed in Porto Beach and out went that high over the bar. You know, so, if I'm watching the highlights, Hilton's shot takes a deflection. And it's probably the chances they miss in the first half. They've hit so clean, like so sweetly. If they had miskicked them like Hilton's, probably one of them would have went in. But Hilton's didn't look, it was like it was a clean hit. I don't know what the camera angle was, well, without. Was it from like the stand? Where everybody stands in?
It's from the stand, but it's slightly different because I had the Albion Rovers one, whereas I think City have their own cameras, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So from the Albion Rovers one, I didn't think it took a deflection, but Albion Rovers immediately tweeted it was a deflection.
Aye.
I don't think the commentator said he thought it was a deflection either. So it might maybe just the angle of where the camera was, really. But I think it was goalward. I don't think there's much doubt about that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It was goalward. But if you watch it highlights, you'll see it's a wee deflection. I think that just lifts it.
Aye.
That'd be a bit better. But again, I mean, yeah, we keep talking short. We're building it up. We'll just move on to it.
Aye. Anything you want to say, Ali, or shall I just give a rather horrendous start that's about to come?
No, I was doing the gardening, to be honest with you, and then watched the open. So
we're sounding so good here, listeners. I mean, we're so up for the new season. No, we'll get better. We'll tell you why in a minute. Anyway, so in terms of League Cup, I mean, we've got Falkirk on Wednesday. It'll be a monumental. Considering how we're going, I think still people in isolation. Hilton's carrying a knock as well, so maybe threadbare again, unless we've got a couple of extra bodies. If we don't get at least a point off of Falkirk, that will be our worst performance since our first year in the League Cup, where we came bottom with 0 points. This time it will be bottom with 1 point. So, not particularly good. Although in saying that, I don't think I've ever had the fact that I absolutely detest the League Cup anyway. I think it's an absolute waste of time. It's just I think it just adds to the calendar when you don't really need to add to the calendar. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it feels like just a couple of weeks ago that we were having the playoffs, yeah. Pretty much because it was. So, you know, I mean, I think we're all a bit fatigued. Some of us are a bit fatigued with it. I mean, we had so much football in the last month. I think even the players only had like a 3.5 week break. It's not great, and you've got to come back in with the squad's a bit thin.
That's everybody moaning about how they were playing friendlies and they want nothing games and all that stuff. That's not cheap.
I mean, it's just
to me, it should still be just straight knockout, and you know what I mean. But you play Saturday, Wednesday for 2 or 3 weeks at the start of the season to get yourself up and running, and then.
I mean, I know it kind of brings a wee bit of extra income at the club and things like that, but I think sometimes it's maybe negligible. I just find it just adds to the calendar. We don't really need to add to the calendar. Yeah. We already play enough games. These guys are part-time as well. It just adds to all that. So, aye, there we go. Ali?
I quite like the League Cup, I have to say. I know what you mean about adding to the calendar, but I think it's just a bit different. I think at least it's trying something, to be honest with you. It was good to go and watch Aki's, a couple of decent players and things like that. And I think this has been a dreadful League Cup campaign. Like, really, really poor, no two ways about it. Unless we get someone from Falkirk to salvage a bit of pride. But if this is just Naismith using it as like to get the guys up and running, to get we've got a couple of kids, for the first time in a long time, we've got a couple of 17, 18-year-olds that are going to have to play. you know, looking at the squad, these guys are going to play a lot of minutes. Just getting them some experience against some decent players, you know, some experienced guys are up against, you know, Brian Easton, for example, was playing for Accies the other night. You know, he's played at a good level, like real experienced pro. Getting guys like this, maybe that's what, if that comes out of it, I think that's the best it could possibly be for this League Cup campaign. Results-wise, been really poor. But if it's just a case of, maybe Naismith has tactics, maybe not paying that much, he's maybe not that bothered, he just wants to use it to get the team ready or as close to ready as possible for the start of the season. So if we have a flying start to a league campaign, then no one will be complaining about having a crap League Cup draw, is my thoughts. And the format, yeah, I'd say I don't mind it. It does have the fixtures, bit of a pain in the arse, but at least it's something different for me. It still feels fresh to me, so I don't mind it, to be honest.
Yeah. Aye. I mean, the only other side to that is that if people see the results, they might decide not to go.
So you've
kind of got to balance that up. We say, oh, you've got to get your guys fit, but at the same point, you're trying to attract folk to come. So with that, we'll kind of move on to our pre-season preview. Maybe should have came before the League Cup, but oh well. As you've rightly pointed out, we've had a massive upheaval and change during the summer. A lot of players left. We've had some players come in. We're probably short of bodies. We're lost grant money to Queen's Park, again, full-time, there you go. Liam Brown's there, apparently playing very well by all accounts as well. As we said previously in the last pod, obviously Liam Henderson went up to Arbroath, Antel went to Arbroath. A lot of change. Is it for the better, Ali?
No, I think is the short answer and probably the correct one, I think. You always look at where you think you're going to finish, and obviously over the last few years we've looked at, well, you know what, maybe a chance for second, you know, second place might be right, you know, challenging maybe if Queen's Park, if Cove aren't as good as people think they'll be, if Queen's Park aren't as good as people are going to think they'll be, obviously this year it's Kelty playing that role, we'll get nowhere near Kelty, absolutely nowhere near them, and actually when you look at the rest of the league, you know, Stenhouse Muir will be stronger, Stirling Albion will be stronger, Elgin are consistently in kind of the place, but I think we've got a real fight in our hands to get to a playoff spot, I really do. I think last year, we were the second best squad in the division, okay, Queen's Park were miles ahead of everyone, that's fine, we get that, and I think some of their League Cup performances and results have actually proved how good a squad they've got, actually. So it was no disgrace falling behind them. But no, I don't think we are stronger. And we sat here, I listened back to the pod where we did, where we talked about the players that have been released. And we said the kind of proof of the pudding would be, you know, what the squad looked like at the start of the season. Was it actually an improvement on these guys? And I can't remember one of the three of us said about, you know, this, that group of players didn't get us into Division One, so they can't really have any complaints about being replaced. Yeah, but I don't think they've been upgraded. I don't. Okay, we all know Thompson was struggling at right back, but we don't really have a right back in there. It might be Lewis Kidd, that's fine. We don't really know much about him at all. I don't think we're stronger at centre back. I don't think we're stronger in Callum Tarkin, looks good, but Laird Black. And then the big glaring thing, I'm not even a huge fan of Blair Henderson. I'm really not. And the fact that he's going to Spartans probably tells you a lot about the regard he held in by the rest of We do not have a goal scorer. We have no goal threat at all. I kind of pinged the message into the group about, is there anyone in the squad who's scored double figures in a season or even close to it? I think Uzi might have done. You think Danny Handling might have done. But no one else is even remotely close. And where are goals going to come from? Like, where are the, you know, there's, I think a lot of it, when you look at kind of League Two football and things like that, even going up into League One and maybe even the Championship, you know what? Just get your goal threats on the park. You can get your goal threats on the park and get them into good positions to be in a decent, you know, that's a decent approach to winning games of football. I just don't think we've got enough goal threats. I just don't. Like, we might play some pretty football, we might pop the ball about, but I just don't see where we're going to score goals. And actually, I don't think we're going to be particularly solid at the back either. It kind of feels that we're in this bit of weird halfway house Now, obviously, there is still time to go to build the squad, and I was really encouraged by some of the football that was played in the second half against Akers. I do like Naismith. I think he talks really well, I think. But if we get... I would take... As things stand, I was offered fourth place. Yeah, absolutely take that. Absolutely would take that right now to get a chance in the playoffs. No doubt about it. And previous years, I thought we were second. With a bit of luck, we'd push for winning the league. And we did keep Cove within our sights for a while. You know, okay, Queen's Park pushed away from us and that kind of stuff. But we'll be nowhere near. Kelly won't even see us. You know, we're going to be fighting with Stirling Albion, Stenhouse Muir and Elgin. Albion Overslick seemed to have picked up and strengthened as well. So, aye, not overly optimistic about the season that's coming. So,
aye, Rooney,
how do you top that? I think, and I don't want to disrespect Lairdy or Blackie or anyone, because Lairdy was brilliant. Tappin's a different type of player and always stood out when he played against us. Playing against these guys as well, I think he's probably better quality, you know. But you've got two goals, we've only got one in. Like we're saying, whether a kid goes in to play in the middle, I think he would be in there, but he might end up playing right back because we've not got one. You're right about Thompson, we've not got a right back now. The way it's going, us, he might be back on a bench again, like we said we would do last season. I'm not playing right back again. I've done that too many times. I've not got the pace anymore. I've not got the agility. The heading ability is not there because I can't jump anymore. It's not happening. So, Ali, you're the only one that's playing five. You'll need it. McFarlane looks good. Hilton looks good. We've signed two winners. We jokingly say, well, James has maybe had to sit in a dark room because we've signed two winners. But you're right, though. They go for it. Uzi done. Gary got a great tune at Uzi at the tail end of the last season. Is he going to get that for a year or a whole year? No disrespecting the guy, but there's very, very few players on the planet that have a very, very high level of consistency week in, week out and don't have a different bond through the course of the year. So they get taken out. You know, goalie. We went so long and Callum improved dramatically through his time, there's all been disappointed to see him go, which is a lot for the guy, which should be credit to the guy. I don't think the boy Goodsell is good enough. We signed a boy for Livingston, who's meant to be a number one on loan. We've not seen him yet at all. I know he'd missed the first couple of games, but we've not seen him yet. I thought he'd have been playing, you know, yesterday and the next League Cup game to see how he goes. It's great to have Rab and Callum there, but centre halves. I mean, we signed a young guy, is it Ricky? Who does look all right, to be fair. He's a young guy, though, but he does look good. He hopefully will sit in with Hamilton playing well. It's a worry we've signed Chris Kane again because he wasn't that great the first time. I'll say it, Bob, it's fine. You can sit in the fence. It wasn't that great the first time. You know what I mean? He'd done a decent job. You were like, but why have we really got him? He was there. He hardly played. And then when he did play a few games in the trot, I think he played with Conrad, you know, when they played together, he looked all right, but you were still like, he's still not good enough to play all week in, week out. He's not pushing Liam and Conrad at the team. So I know it's only till Christmas, but it still doesn't, that doesn't sit right with me at all. Happens in there with Danny Jardin. I mean, the two of them will probably struggle to tackle off a stopper. You know, it's you need somebody with a bit of steel. Even in modern day football, where Guardiola's team has, and his philosophy and what they do with Johan Cruyff and the tiki-taka and everybody plays, you know, you have Busquets, when you have Busquets, you still go and tackle. You know, Fernandinho still goes and tackles. All these guys can still go and tackle, but they can play. I don't think it's in Danny, or that's just how they are, but I don't think it's in Danny or Callum's makeup. You know, if you're playing with A2 in the middle of the park, you can't play somebody in front of them, we're going to have to play somebody behind them. They'll let Callum go and play further up and dictate the game and play further up. and let Danny run and run in behind like he's good at. Like we've seen he's good at when he plays in the middle. But we need somebody up front. And whether Boy Shanley's going to come in and do it, again, it's another lone guy. You're right about Blair. Blair was Marmite when he was banging goals and it looked great. And to be fair, when Gary came in last year, he got a tune out of him as well. So,
I think it's important to stay with Uzi as well, and I'm a big fan of Uzi. Even if he has a brilliant season,
yeah,
I think he finished last season really well. I think he did a good job. He's going to score max 15 goals. If he scores 15 goals, he's had that, and he's like, because it's just not his game. Like that's not his game. His game has been physical, bringing players into play, stretching defences, all that. That's all hugely important. And it's stuff that I really love to see from a striker. I think it's brilliant. But, you know, he's not Robert Lewandowski. He doesn't do that and score 40 goals a season. Like it just doesn't happen.
Not many people so I think, do that. So, you know,
it's... Well, they don't, but there has to be, so there has to be something within the squad, within the team,
yes,
where there is a real goal threat. Is it? And what, Shanley, I mean, how many goals has he scored in his career? I know he's a young boy and things like that, but...
Is your number 10 going to do it? Whoever's going to play in that, they say the number 10 role, who's going to play in the pocket behind him if he plays the 4-2-3-1? Is that person going to be the main goal threat when he's stretching it and they're like a second breaker? Who's it going to be though? Do you know what I mean? It's not... Danny Hanlon's never been renowned for doing that, from playing there.
No.
You know, he always wants to get the ball and feed the ball through. He's never been a, dare I say it, and I've done well in half an hour before I said, is he going to be like a Paul Hartley or a Rudy Scatchell? Do you know what I mean? Is he going to be going, right, damn it, the ball's away, I'm gone. We're not going to have somebody like that. Or is it going to be helping? But is he still going to score enough?
Aye.
I doubt it. I doubt it very much. I hope they prove us wrong and the three of us are eating them will buy because we're sitting in somebody's house drinking cheap Prosecco because we won the league next year. But at the moment, I think if we get fourth and done, we've been very lucky with what we've currently got because I think we're going to struggle big time. Because although the guys are good, they've come in, McFarlane's a young guy, Ricky's a young guy. So how many times we've all seen it throughout watching football, the amount of guy, young laddies that I've seen Hearts ruin because they've played them when they're going through bad form is unbelievable. It's shocking. They should be taking them out the firing line and you put your old throw in. Whether that's going to happen with Chris Kane, if Ricky has a couple of bad games and take him at the firing line and, you know, give him a break and let him learn and then go back in, you need to do it. It's the same with McFarlane. McFarlane's a winger, so he's going to be infuriating at the best of times, as they all are, because he's going to try stuff. He's going to try and beat a man, which is what we all pay our money to go and see. None of this target long stuff. But when his form dips, what's going to happen? We can't keep playing him. We're going to have to take him at the firing line and put somebody in. I don't think we've got it. We look at, like, I mean, the amount of times me and Bob and I went in the 20s, it was sad to see Sam go. He never really played a lot last year. Would he have played a lot this year? I don't know. But you've not even seen a guy from the 20s coming out and going. Because there was a couple of young guys that played in the middle of the park. Like, if they had kept one of those guys and were playing on him beside tapping and that, you've got to wait. Well, at least you know, these guys can play or you know they can tackle. You know, there's nothing like that. So I think we'll be, I won't say the trap door is open, but there might be a wee, I think the padlock will be off it. And it could be a very, very slippery slope, unfortunately.
I think you've rightly highlighted the lack of goals. I know Blair divides opinions sometimes, but you were guaranteed goals.
Yeah.
Regardless, like, it's all very well having mobile strikers, but you sometimes need a boy to put the ball in the back of the net. And well, Blair never really ran about sometimes. He knew where the goal was. Gave him half a chance, and most of the time it was going to go in. And that's no slight on Uzi. Uzi is a different player. You know, it's a different striker, as you pointed out, Ali. He does different things. The only part of the park at the minute I'm not overly concerned about is the left-hand side with Crane and McIntyre. They just do what they do. Much like you saw yesterday, that was the only part that, like, they played well together. As long as that sticks, then we'll probably still get the best left side in the league. I don't think that's really much a doubt.
No.
Tapping coming in, he's a wonderful player. I'm a huge fan. His passing is sublime. He can't do it all himself, though.
No.
You know, it's the same for Danny Hanlon. We all think Danny plays better through the middle. Naismith said him on the left, he said him on the right, and he said him through the middle, and it just so happened his best game was yesterday when he was playing through the middle. I think there's going to be too much reliance on tapping, handling on the left-hand side to really do everything, and then hoping that Uzi can score some goals on top of that. Maybe a wee bit of Hilton as well. At the minute, we're short, and there's no question about it. What I don't get is that we released all these players. We released a lot of good players, but there seemed to be no discernible plan to replace them. You would expect if you're going to release such good players as we had, like Black and Laird, Calamanto, Blair, these type of guys, you would have ready-made replacements coming in. That doesn't seem to be the case at all.
I agree with you. I do still think, and I don't know, I think we touched on this last thing. I do think an element has done us all is because Grant Murray's left. I'm not saying the whole recruitment job would be down to Grant Murray, because then we come into, as we've watched enough American sports, Bob, what is a director of football doing?
Well, but you can't just blame it on one person going. There should have still been a plan in place. You should be covering all eventualities. You're maybe not expecting him to go, and that's fair enough, right?
You're not expecting him to go when they've probably had a plan of who they wanted and what they wanted to do. And as soon as he goes...
But that shouldn't be stopping signings, though.
Well, it depends if who was going to go out and get them.
Well, we should have a list of targets and say, right, these are the people we want to go for. But it doesn't look like they've got that. That's what I'm trying to say. It just looks like... Much like what our next topic is, that's coming on there, it just looked a bit haphazard, right? And I get there is an argument to say, like, we had these guys for a number of years, they never got us promoted. Maybe a change was needed. I get that point. To a point, you're maybe right. But then when you're seeing how it's developed so far, it's critical positions that we're missing. So we're missing an Andy Black to just, like, tap and do his thing, you know? We're missing a right back. And, yeah, I think we all know that Tomo was probably off the pace eventually, but we're missing a right back, you know, we're missing a goal scorer. So it just looks like we've just let these guys go thinking, right, we need to do something, but no plan. I'm trying not to be so pessimistic, but it's, I think even just talking around the core support over the last few weeks, there's a real malaise, is probably a good word to put. It's just a bit of a kind of about the new season coming, which we hope doesn't affect our change to our next topic of moving to Friday night football.
The only thing I was going to say before we quickly jump into that is if the Lewis Toshney signing works out, then this might be a really different conversation in terms of steel and experience and ability, because if he is fit, and that's a huge question mark, he's miles above this level. Like he's, I know when you said before when Conrad came in, like, let's get a bit of that, there's a little, Toshney's miles ahead of that, miles and miles ahead of that level. Yeah. But it's all in his knees and his fitness. If he comes in and is an inspirational player, probably centre half, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Then you're actually starting to look at a really strong. Then the core actually looks a lot stronger if the goalkeeper works out from Livingston. If he gets a game, if Toshney is at centre half, you know, obviously you've got the left hand side there, but then you've got tapping in the middle. You've got Jardine running on. You're actually now thinking actually. There is something there. So it can turn really quickly. I know we're all being quite pessimistic about that. But it's because so much change happened. And I think we expected more. We expected, you know, when we saw these players going, we thought, well, that's because there's someone else in mind. That's an improvement. Yeah. And that's fine. There's too many sentiment in football. Yeah. If you can improve in a position, you can improve in a manager, go do it. Like, that's what it's all about. So we haven't seen that. However, I think Toshney Kidd looked good in the little glimpses I've seen of him, you know. I think he might play right back, and if he does play right back, that's fine. Looks like he might have good delivery, which is good, some good set piece play. So it can all change really, really quickly. So we shouldn't be too, we shouldn't have like, batter four clock 3-0 on Wednesday. Well, but yeah,
I think though, I mean, we've always said, when does the window shut? The end of August. So we've still got weeks to kind of replace it. We've still got weeks to bring bodies in. I just think when you're, I think as well for a lot of people. Is that you're saying like Stenhouse Muir, who went out inside, what, 25 bodies or something? You know, Kelty's made themselves stronger. Stirling Albion have made themselves stronger. You know, there's a lot of signings. Albion Rovers, after watching yesterday, they're definitely a lot stronger than they were last year. You're just looking about and going, well, have kind of been left kind of flat-footed. And I think part of that is because it doesn't look like a huge, massive plan to replace who we're getting rid of, really. And yeah, it could change. I hope it does. I mean, I hope it does. Tosti's a great signing, you know. I mean, some of these guys are great. Callum Tappan's a superb signing. You know, McFarland looks like he could play a bit. But then again, the only thing I'm hoping is if we don't get any more bodies in, or is enough bodies, is you end up relying on too many players to do too many things. You know, Tappan in particular is going to be relied on a lot. It's almost like when James used to say about Mark Laird, is this a team that can't play without Mark Laird when he's not playing or he's injured? My fear at times is that Tappan's going to be taking that place of, if Tappan's no ticket, what's going to happen to the rest of the team? You know, because it'll just depend. If Danny Handling can keep his form for the last couple of seasons, brilliant. But again, you're relying too much on him. Maybe if Tappan's unfit, you know, it needs more spread about the team, I think. And at the minute, it's just kind of centred too much on one or two players. And I think that just needs to be spread out.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I was saying, much like if the results are going, we're moved to Friday night football, which probably the politest way to put it is it's caused a mixed reaction, I think. Some people seem really excited. Quite a number of people cannot believe we're moving to Fridays. I think there's a lot of families that we can gather. If you're speaking to them, they're not particularly impressed about Friday nights, late night finishes and all that. Our next topic is future plans. So we can kind of say what happened is myself and Rooney had a meeting with members of the board, including our owner, Tom Tracy. It was a very positive meeting, I would say. Lots of interesting plans. We can cover a wee bit in the next section. But obviously, ostensibly, this meeting was to do with the change to Friday nights. There was a number of people in the core support. We sent a letter to the board detailing concerns from our problems with Ainslie Park being the issue of low attendance to families. Maybe the club should be a family-focused club. Friday nights, maybe isn't going to do that to bring young children in and get them hooked to other competitive competition around. So you've got the Speedway, you've got Edinburgh Rugby, Championship games on the telly and so on. What exactly are we going to do to make a Friday night difference? Before we go into what the reasoning is behind it, what do you guys think? We'll start with Ali.
Go to Ali first.
I mean, I think there's a reason football has been played at 3 o'clock on a Saturday for as long as it's been played. That's the time that works for fans. That's the time that people have built their weekends around. You're going back generations. They've built their weekends around, you know, football's on at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. I think in terms of the principle of a Friday night, I'm not intrinsically opposed to it. I think, as an occasional thing, a one-off thing, and also something that's accompanied. I think if you're going to do Friday night football, it's like, you know, when Sky do their Monday night football, and it's a big Monday night's crap. No one wants to do anything on Monday night, but everyone gets up on Monday night football because it's a big event. You know, they have an hour pre-game, an hour post-game. It's all there. It's something. It's an event.
Yeah.
And if Friday night football could be that, you know, something that actually was a really, really good experience for the people going along, a really good fan experience. Now, however that is done, whether it's things at the ground, whether it's even just Americans do this kind of stuff amazingly well. They just hook you in, and it's not just an hour and a half or 2 hours, it's not an hour and a half, it's a full experience. And if Friday Night Football could, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah, it's something to actually look forward to. And if it could be that, then you know what, you can see some real potential with it. There are loads of challenges, unfortunately, around that. The biggest one, obviously, is where we play our games at the moment, which is still Ainslie Park, unfortunately. It's not a good place to watch football. It's not an easy place to get to. There's nothing around it. The club don't have any real control over, in fact, not any control over what can be done in and around the footprint of the ground. So they can't really do that, give it that kind of razzmatazz and all that kind of stuff that makes people talk about Friday night football for Edinburgh City. So I think that's the big problem there, because I think it'll just end up you know what football's like? Football's crap sometimes going to games. It's dull and it's cold and it's pissing down with rain and stuff like that.
Certainly is it like, Park.
Nah, it is it still in the park. Like microclimate there. But you just kind of do it because it's there's obviously there's not a good one and things like that. So that's enough to get you through. But when you're doing it every Friday night, any kind of novelty I think does probably wear off quite quickly, alongside the fact the club can't do anything to make it a big experience. You know, it will work for some people who can go, it means they can go to the game, great. For other people, it won't work. For me, 6:23 is actually my wee one, goes to bed at 7, so I can drive along and I'm there and I'm back and it's fine. I've got a weekend spree, that's fine, but I know for others on this very podcast, it's not convenient. It just is what it is. I know the club are kind of in a bit of a bind with it. I don't think we're going to touch on Meadowbank really on this pod. There's much point on it, but yeah, I was surprised when it came out. I have to say, when the announcement came out, it wasn't what any of us expected, and especially to hear it was Friday nights, the full season. Very difficult, I think from a sporting integrity point of view as well. I know it's a loaded phrase in Scottish football, just to be honest with you. But from a sporting integrity point of view, asking part-time teams in Elgin, you know, for example, and Forfar and things like that to come and play on a Friday night, I think you're on difficult ground there, if I'm honest with you. So maybe it's an advantage to us playing on that Friday night. Maybe our players will be more attuned to it, more used to it. Maybe if come the end of the season, actually, there will be a big sporting advantage to us because the guys' bodies are attuned to playing on a Friday night, if you know what I mean. But
on that, the majority of the teams in the league said that they were okay with it. So they're not obviously too concerned. But in terms of what you're saying about Razzmatazz, obviously we can't do the Ainslie Park. In our discussion this other week there is hopefully going to be a fan zone at Meadowbank. There's probably more to do at Meadowbank. It's a bigger space.
Yeah.
We're going to be the main tenant anyway. So I think we're getting a wee bit of leeway to try things. I don't think there's any doubt we need to try and attract people to games. Yeah. Our crowd has, let's not dress it up, our crowd has plummeted since going to Ainslie Park. I mean, we've lost a third of our crowd from moving to Meadowbank to Ainslie Park. The ground share obviously had its benefits, but in other respect, it's been impossible almost to grow the club, and we can see that through the. I mean, folk will go, well, there might be some folk who say Ainslie Park's not that bad, and etc. etc. Well, the thing is, when we were at Meadowbank, we were averaging 450, and we almost went down straight away. Yet we ended up getting second, and our crowd dropped further each year. So that would indicate it's got nothing to do with the team and nothing to do with the football. It's where it's getting played. You know, it doesn't really take much thinking to know what the problem is. You know, I mean, as you say, it's not good to get to it. The sightlings are terrible. It's cold. Can't really stand behind a goal or anything. You're all crammed into that wee stand. I think, well, I've got my concerns, but we'll let Rooney jump in now before I detail my numerous concerns.
Your concerns are, I get everybody's concerns. I think my position is very different. I got a season ticket last year because I could watch as much football as I wanted from the comfort of my own home. So if one game was absolutely horrendous, I could turn it off and watch another game, or just concentrate on another game, which is good. Would I have bought another season ticket this year? I don't know. We're moving and stuff, obviously, is a big thing. So moving to Friday night, I might end up buying one myself because I'm probably not going to have a clash, which is good for me. Although I did bring up my concerns in the meeting about it, where I'm in Ali's boat. It's novelty for me. Will the novelty be there to do it every Friday night? Or, you know, is it going to be a thing? But we'll just need to wait and see. Folk might be attracted to it, folk might not be attracted to it. But to me, I think it's a big gamble. It's a huge gamble because the culture of the United Kingdom is everyone goes to the game at 3:00 on a Saturday. You go for a few years before you watch some horrendous football, you go and moan about it after for a couple of hours with your mates. You know, so taking Ainslie Park out of the equation, because I don't think we can really properly judge it until we go to the back.
Aye.
Because none of us will be going for a pint before we go to Ainslie Park, because it's a camel trek and a ferry to get there. For the time it takes us to get there in Edinburgh, I'd probably be quicker getting a ferry than bloody driving. But, you know, it'll be different when we go to Meadowbank, because we can all walk or meet in a local public house for a couple of light libations before it. So, my stance is very different, but I totally get why everybody's a bit. Because to me, I think if you could have got away with it, but we found out, I need to watch what I'm saying, but subsequently you can't. But if you could do once a month, or you could do one every five, or they could have had, what wouldn't we say, 18 home games, if you could have maybe done six on a Friday night to see how it was, so you can gauge your attendance, but apparently that's not something.
I mean, that's one of the unfortunate things. It had to be the whole season. I don't think I'm really breaking a merta by revealing that. We're obviously in a bind anyway, because we could only play on a Friday night at Ainslie Park anyway, because the Saturday slot that we had has been taken up by Lothian Thistle, which is Vale. That's not really a secret either, so we can share that too, if you don't already know. Again, I think I just... My issue with Fridays is, I know, like a lot of people we spoke to, as the attraction of City was the fact that we're still a traditional team who played at Saturday at 3 o'clock. You know, it didn't get shunted to a Saturday lunchtime for television or a Sunday at 4 o'clock or anything like that. It was still a Saturday, 3 p.m. You know, and if it was a midweek game, Wednesday, 7:45. Nice and simple, there you go. Or Tuesday, whenever it may be. But that was attraction for a lot of people. I know some of our friends, and they've been speaking to their friends as well, people interested in maybe coming, they were going to start taking their kids along. That's just wiped out now by Fridays, because they've got their kids in their routine. Maybe go to the bed at 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at the latest. Can't really do that if it's a Friday night. You know, it's... I think there's other ways we could have marketed the club. We don't do a lot with students in Edinburgh. You know, I think, as I've said before, it's something like 55,000 students in Edinburgh at any one time. 80% of those in Edinburgh, who come to Edinburgh to study, want to stay in Edinburgh. Even 1% of that 80 is an extra 300 on the gate. That's a lot of fans for a team our size. You know, there's other marketing I don't think's ever really been done. Family, as I say, family focus is really where it should be, trying to get them hooked in before they go the Hearts or Hibs or other sports like Edinburgh Rugby or anything like that. So it's a big decision. I know why they've done it. I appreciate why they've done it. I know there's some people really excited by it, but I think the majority of people we spoke to, aren't they really that enthused? I mean, as it transpires, until the Speedway season finishes, I mean, it's okay for me, depending if we get to the playoffs or not. But next year it'll come a bit difficult if we decide to keep it going, and then I'll have to make a choice about what I want to go and see. I'm not the only one in that boat. There's other people who've got other commitments on a Friday. I mean, even for yourself, Rooney, if you're working late on a Friday, trying to get across town to get to a game, is going to be difficult. You're not going to be the only one in that boat. There's a lot of event. There's a lot of like facets to this.
Yeah.
That I think other, not necessarily the club, but other people who are really excited by it, haven't quite worked out an understanding why people are so against it. Really, you know what I mean? It's there is a multitude of issues that go along with Friday nights. I mean, obviously, I don't think we're all going to sit here. I mean, I'd be delighted if it works. If it puts fans on the gate and people start coming, fantastic. My main concern is because we're having to start at Ainslie Park. If it had been right back at Meadowbank, if I was starting the league next week or a couple of weeks' time at Meadowbank and it was going to be Fridays, I'd be less concerned.
Yeah.
If you're trying to attract people through a gate down at Ainslie Park on a Friday night, it's going to be difficult. I mean, as we said before, I don't know if I said in the last pod, our lowest ever gate since promotion was a Friday night in the Scottish Cup, where we barely got over 100, and that was competing with football on the television and a couple of other games that night, or a couple of other sports. It's going to be tough, and I hope they've got a plan. I think they've got a plan. Whether that will make a difference, I don't know. We'll see. I think season tickets are coming out this week. We'll see what the uptake is on that. You know, I mean, what we need to make clear is it's not necessarily get Hearts and Hibs fans in, who may go on, may not. I mean, I think we've seen that experiment didn't really work. You know, the half price tickets and whatnot, even when they had the chance to go, they weren't turning up anyway. So it's going to be, we'll see. It'll be hard. Hope it works. I certainly hope it works. I would love to see more fans through the door. If you can get that 500 stand before we build the new one filled at Meadowbank every week, I'll be absolutely delighted. Absolutely delighted. But anyway, so there we go. That's Fridays. Oh, something so drab, eh? Anyway, right, something a bit more optimistic. Future plans. Now, we can't go too much into what the meeting was about until things got approved by the club. But as I say, me and Rooney had a pretty lengthy discussion with the owner and Chairman Brown and a couple of others. A lot of positivity, I thought. I think the direction that Tom wants to take the club is very optimistic. I think it's everything that we've spoken about before. I mean, we've already mentioned there's no secret to the fact that the club will want to go full-time, whether that be hybrid to begin with into full-time. You obviously want to build the fan base. You know, there's things like James's job setting up the academy and whatnot. I think that's going to be an absolute must anyway. Aye. There's a lot of good things going on in the background that hopefully we'll be able to tell you at some point. I don't want us to get into, I know something you don't know type idea, folks, because that's certainly not what the meeting was about. But obviously, I'm sure you can appreciate there might be things that we're not allowed to reveal. We need to know what we can reveal before we actually reveal.
I would add to it is Bob done very well, because Bob minuted the meeting. That's why we're waiting on approval after that, just so that it's not you guys got to go, even though there was a lot of people that signed that letter. Aye. So that's why it's not for public consumption at the moment. But once that's revealed, then we'll go through it all point by point that we're allowed to go through.
Maybe be a pod on its own, but I think the direction of the club, I know there was some people obviously a bit concerned about the team or Fridays or something, the direction of the club and where we want to go with the club is really positive. I don't think either of us came out of that meeting thinking anything other than this is in the right hands.
No.
You know, this is going to sound maybe a bit silly, but I've got a feeling it's a bit like Fergus McCann. You know, come in, stabilise the club, grow the club, go. Almost. There's a little bit about that, you know, somebody with a clear plan about the direction of the club.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with Tom. Tom came across really, really well a couple of weeks ago.
We know everybody else.
But I think the main thing is that there's a lot of people have shared with us that they don't know who the owner is, or what it looks like. And that if you like a degree in anonymity is fine. At least we can say we know him. We've met him. We're really positive after meeting him. So at least we can say we now know this is the owner and what direction the club's going. And it's certainly, we were enthused, certainly, after that discussion.
It was a proper, open discussion. None of this trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. You know, that were like, there was no holds barred at times. We did the miss at times. You could tell at times they were like, right, we'll take your point on board. So, you know, we went with both barrels in a constructive way. I think and I think probably they appreciated it as much as we appreciated them being on it, so it was good. Just last thing on Friday Night Football, Tom goes, so keep doing what you're doing, guys, really enjoy the podcast. We're like, thanks very much. Callum's like, aye, really good, keep going. And then he's like, and you're both be at the game tomorrow. Bob goes, no, I'm at the Speedway. And then he looked at me and went, the bowling season's still on, we're playing in the cup tomorrow. So
On that note, aye. I mean, you've had a view of the minute, Sally. What's your thinking?
I think it does make a difference. I think that's one of the great things about supporting a team as small as Edinburgh City, that you can have like a direct impact, and you do know that the board are listening to your concerns. You've got to respect that. And it's a challenging environment to work in Scottish football, and there's, you know, we've talked about before, there's some absolute zoomers in charge of the whole game. It's at various points in Scottish football. So you know, the best laid plans and all that. But there is a real, there is a plan for the club, which is good. It's not a ludicrous plan. There's nothing stupid in there. Like, it's ambitious, and Tom's an ambitious man and stuff, which is great. And how close we get to his ambitions, who knows? But if we get halfway there, then, you know, what happy days. So I think that's all really positive. I think the big positive for me, not on a personal level, but I think the recent announcement alongside the Friday Night Football, or just after Friday Night Football, about our about the move we're making to have a more ethical approach to the club as a whole, but certainly in terms of some of the sponsorship thing. This is, you know, for me, gambling, football's relationship with the gambling industry is a disgrace. I think it's appalling. And I'm glad to support a club that is looking to break that relationship. I think that's really, really positive. So I think that, so things like that give you a bit of heart, because that's, you know, longer term, really positive thinking. And actually, again, from a selfish commercial point of view, it makes the club stand out. It makes people, you know, the environment I work in, I'm doing the Chartered Financial Analysis certificate in environmental and social governance investing at the moment. So it's a hot topic.
And, you got cheese baguette to go with that, Ali. Cheese baguette.
A hot topic in my world. So there is that. There's a commercial opportunity as well. If the club are putting themselves forward as, you know, an ethical club, all that kind of stuff, and are doing something really concrete, like rejecting sponsorship from gambling companies as well as a few other things. But I think gambling's the big one, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that's really positive. Yeah, and you've got to give, if somebody's bold enough to make that sort of decision and make those sort of statements, make those sort of commitments, then you've got to give them a bit of leeway and a bit of support. So yeah, it'd be great once we can share what's shareable. For me, I think most things are, there's anything there that's, obviously you've got to be fair. If the club have taken the time to speak to people, you've got to be fair with their wishes and in terms of what can, if there's anything they don't particularly want out for various reasons, that's totally fine, of course. So yeah, it'd be great to be able to share that with everyone and have a real chat about it. So I think, yeah, really, really positive.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about that. I think, as you rightly say, the fact that they're willing to engage with fans is a huge bonus. I think too many clubs ignore their fans. I think higher up the chain, maybe that team in West Edinburgh really need to pay attention at some point. In fact, the one in East Edinburgh, maybe we should pay attention at some point now, I know. I think the one in the West makes it worse, though. Do you know, I've said before to you guys, I've said to the club as well, the more open they are, the better. Yeah. I think it provides a lot of goodwill for the fans. They're more willing to help out if things go wrong, if you're open and just being clear. I mean, I went through it with Edinburgh Capitals with ice hockey, where everything was kept secret and things went to pot very quickly. I mean, there was always rumours and supposition and folks saying, I know this and I was told this and he told me that and all this kind of stuff. You know, and I think part of the reason that the Caps disappeared was because things were kept too secret. I don't want that again. You know, I can't go through that again. I can't lose another club or anything like that. You know, I can't go through... I don't think anybody who've been serious about it can have secrets the way that happened. And I think the fact that the way that Jim and Tom and others on the board are willing to share with fans what they're thinking is and how the club are going forward is a massive, massive positive. You don't see it a lot in football, I don't think, especially in Britain anyway. Maybe see it on the continent a bit more, especially in Germany and things like that. But here, I think, is a massive difference. You're forever seeing other people on social media and all that complaining that the clubs aren't open with them. So, yeah, it was good. It's positive, really encouraged. Far more positive than the getting part of the pod anyway. before we move on, anything else near that? Look, can I cover it?
Nah. Just hopefully we can get stuff out. It's not a Bob and Neil went to a meeting. It was a meeting to represent everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, to represent the supporters. I mean, the one thing we probably can say is that the plans for Meadowbank, once they come to fruition, we should be back November. That was on the club website as well, fingers crossed. I think the plans for what we can do down there are huge. They're absolutely huge. Very much going to be the community club. I think all our teams are going to be playing there.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
I think before we let the cat out of the bag, I would just say everybody can be very excited.
Aye, before we say much more, but Meadowbank is huge for us. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's not even just a case of we're getting away from Ainslie Park or anything like that. How things are going to be approached at Meadowbank for the club, I think, is positive and it's massive. And I think everybody will be really excited once they know exactly what's happening. In terms of in positive parts, we'll go to the next part. Myself and Rooney went to the women's game last week. Although a slight sad loss after... Yeah. After pretty much hammering everybody else in sight. I've watched a lot of the games. I think you've seen a lot of the games as well. They play some really good football.
Yeah.
You know, nice brand of football. Get the ball in the deck, build it for the back. We got soaked last week, mind you, because we weren't allowed in the stand at Ainslie Park.
Bad man, my big brolly was coming useful.
You know what?
My brolly coming useful. Cause
well, I covered you. I only got half of me. I was soaked halfway down.
Well, boys can't come to spare. Look at the forecast. But it was when we were like rocked up to stand and there was loads of parents and it was just me and you. I'm the only one with an umbrella and everybody's looking at me going, who's this guy? It's like, very good, Dad. So it was good, Dad. But they do play some cracking stuff. We did want to go because I wanted to heck on my work pal, Laura, but she was there. Disgraceful. So I've heckled her via social media instead. But I didn't know they do. They try and play football in the right way. So I would encourage anybody to go and watch them because I believe hopefully they'll end up being best on our side of the town as well. So.
Aye. I think that's a very, very encouraging performances. They score a lot of goals, which is in sharp contrast to the first team, really. That's not the way to put it, really. Yeah, they know where the goal is, and that's pretty much what happens. And they spread the goals among the team as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the defence chip in with quite a lot of goals. We would try and give more names and numbers, but we're a bit shaky at the minute between who's who.
Who's who.
So we do apologise for that. Yeah. There are numbers on the website and players, but there's some players who aren't on the website, and there's some numbers that are like about three or four different
so
players.
We're a bit
struggling about who's who at times. So we do apologise for anybody who listens in who's been watching the women's team. But yeah, if you can watch them when you can, please do go and watch them. They're really good to watch. The streams have been pretty good as well. Aye, really.
So that's your task, Bob.
My task.
But every time everybody since the guys like Colin and that will watch now. When you put a team sheet up, go and put the numbers beside it.
Aye, and that accounts for all the teams. We've had such a massive overhaul with the men's team that people were complaining they don't know who's who with the numbers. We have the same problem with the women's team. The team goes up with no numbers. And for those that don't necessarily know who's who and all that kind of stuff, it really is difficult to figure out what players are wearing what numbers. We're assuming it goes in position, almost position order. I don't really know, to be honest.
No, whenever we occasionally shout being well played,
aye.
Number, whatever. Well, you know what I mean? It just doesn't sound good. So.
And that's the same. And that's the same for the men's team as well. I mean, there's people complaining on Twitter. I was live tweeting for the club yesterday, so I put the numbers up, which seemed to make a big difference.
What can I say?
Not all heroes wear capes.
They just have a wardrobe full of Pittsburgh Penguins gear. So positive there. I think there's really encouraging signs with the women's team. If the teams have been playing in the friendlies or the teams that they've got in the league, I'd be very encouraged that they can do very well in the league.
Rangers
under 19s, but I don't think they play in the league. That was just a short friendly.
I'll keep my comments about their opposition, but
their coach was the shy coming on the pitch, was he?
Oh, it was me. It was the first time I'm not keeping my comments. It's the first time I've watched one of that mob at any level, and there wasn't any dodgy songs, so it was quite refreshing. So, I had to say it. You know, it was like. Because I know how they had all the bother years ago when they had an old firm game, the under 20 game, with the air beer or something.
Right,
riots. I was like, it's the first time I've watched one of this mob. No dodgy singing. Right. Like, if you get used to this, I might even watch them in Europe and cheer them. Oh, no. Yeah. So, no, but you could tell they play, but they look more they've been together a wee bit longer. And
aye.
They're maybe a wee bit more full-time sort of thing, you could tell at points, but again, they try to play the game the right way as well.
Yeah. I think what you can say is encouraging about the team is that they've been affected quite badly by COVID and work, and sometimes they've only had like one player on the bench, but they're still scoring lots of goals and still like winning games. So that's a huge positive. That's a massive positive. So, aye, all encouraging. So if you can get yourselves down there to watch them as well, I believe they're under 20 start in a few weeks. Also go and give them support because I believe it's been a massive overhaul for the under 20s. I had my spies telling me last night. But it's partly a good team still, so fingers crossed. Ali, were you going
to
jump
to check in there? Yeah, on the women's team, are they coming back to Meadowbank as well, or is that the plan for when we go back to Meadowbank? Will the women's team be based out of there as well? Or?
I don't know if we're embargoed. I don't think we're embargoed in this, but we're told that's going to be our base.
I think pretty much everybody's going to be at Meadowbank. I don't think that's really we're breaking anything there. I think everybody's kind of assumed that's what's going to be happening anyway.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good again to see that to help build that whole club up as well. And I think you need that if you have Meadowbank as that base. And again, it's maybe easier again if it's easier to get to. But that all helps the club, and it's great to the women's team's only a couple of years old now. But it's great to see they have made real strides, which is, you know, yeah, even getting the highlights on YouTube, which is great to just catch in. Okay, obviously, you don't know any of the players, as you've just said with that, but it's great to see them. They're obviously being coached well because you can see that they do try and play the game. They do try and, you know, the players are brave on the ball. You know, they do build out from the back. So it's they're obviously getting access to some good coaching as well, which is great to see. So, yeah, I think the club... Of course, it's been a really positive change to embrace the women's side of the game, and it's such a growth area, which is great. And you see, even where I live at Leith, down at Leith Links, when you watch we went for a walk, and the kids are playing football, and it's all mixed. There's loads of girls playing football, you know, and they should have that path to be able to continue playing that game at whatever level that they're capable of. That's really, really important. So hopefully, Edinburgh City will be a home for a lot of these girls getting into football and progressing on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think that's the plan. We ourselves on Friday nights for at least one season. The under 20s on alternate Friday nights. So if you're in the habit of going on a Friday night, you can go and watch the under 20s as well. Please do. I'm assuming they'll still be trying to play the same brand of football as they have, which again was on the deck, play it out. Yeah. Used to score
bad it was.
Ridiculous amount of goals when we watched them. I mean, that 20s team, obviously they've been taken apart because they're either too old or they've moved on to better things, maybe we could call them.
They've moved on to full-time football.
Or they're maybe on to like East of Scotland or Lowland League or whatever it is that they've done. They were streets ahead. There was no question that under-20s team was absolutely streets ahead of everybody else in that league. They were so far ahead, it was ridiculous.
They were great on the eye.
Oh, aye.
And I know it's a different level, but you can only beat what's in front of you. But they were great on the eye. I mean, proper action just rolling it out and popping it about, and you're like, oh, that's probably why we watched them so many times and go, why can these guys not get the first game?
Aye. I mean, the ones that were obvious was obviously like we've got Sam Newman who got signed anyway but eventually got released. There was Andy Muir in the middle who signed for Newton Grange, which I was seriously disappointed at. And Jack Nielsen, who was up front, I think that's his name, I believe he signed for Haddington. So that's disappointing because he certainly knew where the net was. But anyway, yes. So if you can, citizens, women's team and the 20s, it's not all about the first team. We do have a number of other teams and many of them play pretty good football.
Yeah.
So with that, any moans, Mr. Monks?
Well, I suppose I'd better start with an apology because obviously someone who is very anti Old Firm Colts teams, old, you know, B teams, all that kind of nonsense. You know, obviously with Celtic, Scottish football is safe. Scottish football is safe. We're surely going to be the favourites. The World Cup in Qatar. Celtic B team have played a game in the Lowland League. They've been beaten 2-1 by Bonnie Groves, and the goal scorer is an Irish under 21 in the national that they've signed from Watford. Fuck me. That's it. Scottish football is safe. Thank you very much to the Old Firm. Tremendous. So there you go. What a lot of absolute nonsense. That by Boston Law, signed for Watford. Irish under 21 international. But hey, what a benefit to Scottish football. Hey, what a benefit. just ridiculous. And you know what? They've been kicked out again for attempts to Trojan horse into the league. There has to be a time ban on these applications again, these attempts to shoehorn these B teams into the league. It's an absolute piece of nonsense. I'm not gonna get it because I'm going to that all the time. So I'm gonna leave it there. I've said my piece on Colts many times. But I suppose in terms of one, I just want to buy a season ticket. Where are the season tickets? Where are they? Like, why were they not released at the same time as Friday Night Football? If you want to make a buzz about it, Friday Night Football, and a kit as well. I've given the club, I've spent £12 for the Hamilton Accies ticket. I've just spent £12 there for the Falkirk ticket. Like, I've got my... I just want to buy my season ticket. I just want to buy it. Like, I'll buy it via an app. That's fine. And I want the new top. I want to know what the new top looks like, and I want to buy it, and maybe the away one as well. I'm not buying the yellow one because it doesn't work for my skin tone and all that kind of stuff, but fucking hell. Just why is the club not want my money? Like, just wrap me a bit. Just please, everyone else has got the season ticket out. Everyone else has the season tickets released. We know where we're playing. We know what's going to be. Everything's going to be done via an app. Like, just fucking sell me a season ticket, man. I don't understand why we've not done it. It would have been the perfect time. It would have been either when we said Friday Night Football, here's a season ticket, you know, you could have a quick offer on. If you buy it in the next 2 weeks or whatever, you get a third offer, whatever it is, or you get a couple of kids go free type tickets to come up with it. Or when they released the stuff about the move to rejecting alcohol and tobacco and gambling sponsorship, and you know, come and buy a season ticket, come and watch your community club, all this kind of stuff. We're just going to, will they dribble out like next week at some point or the week after? I don't know. Just because I total missed opportunity. I want to buy my season ticket. I'm going to buy one, but I just, do I have to go down there? Do I have to transfer Jim some cash or something? I don't know. I just want my season ticket and a top. Not even a hoodie. I don't even need a hoodie this time. I've got my hoodie. That's fine. I just want a season ticket, a home kit, and maybe an away kit. So there's, I don't know, £300 or something the club can have if we just give me a function to spend that money.
Aye, we're in the same boat. I know there's a lot of people absolutely champing at the bit to get their season ticket. We're also in a position, myself and Rooney, about sponsorship monies because we're hopefully going to be sponsoring. We're moving our sponsorship, obviously, because Andy Black is off to Pastures New. We've got a certain person lined up who will remain anonymous. We are itching to get that out as well. So that's quite a lot of money between the season tickets and sponsorship. You know, I think between us, that'll be about £300-400. So aye, just get the season tickets out, man. Come on. Just to pick up on your Colt teams, I was delighted when the news came out about like, getting patched again. There was a wonderful article for Jordan Campbell in The Athletic going through all the different scenarios, who rejected it and all this kind of stuff. I think he was clear saying that it really never really got past the first stage of the Premiership, never mind going lower down. So while some of the Championship League 1 and League 2 teams tend to get a bit victimised about, oh, it's just these part-time teams, what do they know? I don't think it would have got past them anyway, to be honest. But it's when it falls at the first hurdle, maybe I actually say it falls at the first hurdle.
But and we said this other quarters, the irony of our horrendous voting system when Aberdeen shat it all these years ago to change it, the irony of our voting system in Scotland is built for the Ugly Sisters. And it's absolutely destroying them just now because they can't get it past the Premier League to get the Colt teams in.
I mean,
see what the rest of the teams are going to do. I have no problem with Colt teams if they start right at the bottom. If everybody wanted a team, I watched an article on Hearts wanting a reserve team. They're not going to get one, so they're going to have to organise friendlies. Put a Colt team in and put them in the East of Scotland League. Or put them, you have to go below that, put it in. Just put them in there. I have no objection to any team doing it. Just start at the bottom. The whole righteousness of, we are gods. We should be doing everything. Nah, piss off.
I mean, the whole it's only going to be one season in the Lone League, I think, is because they reckoned they were going to get into League Two and they've been told to bolt again. So they're obviously going to have to come back and say, right, can we stay a wee bit longer? I mean, the whole thing about, oh, look at all these other teams, it makes an advantage for other countries. You just need to see the Dutch leagues and the Germans and all that kind of stuff. There was a post on Pine Bovril for a Dutch guy, and he was like, it doesn't make a difference here. It really doesn't. You know, and then I was looking through some of the Euro squads, focusing, look at these different teams. There's a Croatian team. The Croatian team that got, this is all, it makes a difference for Croatia. The Croatia team that got to the World Cup final had one player that had played a solitary game in a B team, and that was a third choice goalkeeper. You know, Luka Modric and these type of guys never came through a B team. No. They went on loan. You know, even going through, I went through the squads of the recent Euros and the teams like Italy and Germany and the Netherlands and so on and so forth. I think the average amount of time anybody stayed in a B team was about somewhere between 15 and 20 games. That's not going to make a massive difference to how good a team is further up. You know what I mean? Because they're obviously looking to put these guys in and play them for longer. The fact is that there's no pathway for all the youth players in Scotland because too many people higher up the chain, because of the way the league is, because it's so cutthroat between top six, bottom six, relegation, and so on and so forth, is that managers shit it from putting youngsters in. You know, and it's like, oh, well, we can't have a big team because that dilutes the product and too many teams are after, like, offer money for extra home games and all this kind of stuff. Well, there's part of your problem. That's the reason a lot of youth players, I think, it's not the only reason, but it's because the league isn't big enough higher up the chain to try and bud these youngsters to give them, you know, give them more experience higher up. And they're having to try and do this B-team thing to try and get them experience against guys. Now, I don't know if playing in League 2 when they're getting kicked up and down the park, you know, for your experience, pros in League 2 is really going to make much of a difference to the development. You know, but I've got no objection to them as a concept, you know, but they've got to start at the bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point, like ourselves being a good example going up, there's no point in us trying to further ourselves and not we're planning to get promoted, which we did, to then have teams like that just skip the queue because they can pay to get in or anything like that. Well, I mean, it's like, so like, obviously, Celtic's came up, Cove's came up, ourselves, you know, teams like Bonnyrigg Rose, East Kilbride, you know, further down the chain, you've got Musselburgh, you've got Lothian Thistle, you've got Pennycook, these type of teams, Trinette Juniors. What message does that send to these guys? You're knocking your pan out to get an SFA licence, you're spending all that money, and then these guys can just skip the queue. It's a farce. It's an absolute farce. You know what I mean? Anyway, right. Rooney's rants, was that your rant?
No.
No, he's got another one. Oh, Christ.
I agree with Ali. Season tickets. My rant would be, I want my £15 back from a recorded delivery post that I never got last year. That would be nice, because... Aye, that would be great. Aye, just... Ainslie Park, shit, and we're still going to be gone. It's, and I know we met the guys, and I know there's so much that goes on because we've spoke to Jar Lumsden on numerous occasions about running a football club and, you know, how much you have to do and what I've got to do. Everything just seems so bloody slow at the moment to get going. So slow. And it seems we are so far behind the curve than everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're talking about letting all these guys go. If you didn't want as big a squad and you still wanted guys in, then fair enough, and use your youth guys. How is Stenhouse? We are attracting the boy Wedderburn that played for Dumbarton. Could we know we're attracting him? He was a cracking player. You know, he's played at a higher level. Played in the Premier League, played in Northumberland, played at a higher level. You know what I mean? I'm a bit miffed because... it's just a bit... We should all be G'ing up to go. The football's back. We want to go. We're going to stand with the son. Sorry, we're going to sit in that stand on Wednesday night together and bark what we want for the first time. I've been practising my booze so the referee can hear me. You know, almost done it at Bonnyrigg when the boy was warming up. But then you were like, the boy was warming up and it was like, boo! You never heard me. So obviously I'll be loud enough. Didn't help me or four of the guys behind us, you know. So it must have been local, but you should be like, let's go for it. And we're just like, nah, this could be grim. And the shirt stuff, should have been out. Tickets, should have been out. Sponsorship, I'll leave it to you, Bob. So, very good. I know you'll be chasing. Stormont got Blackie stops the last year.
We've got Blackie stops the year before.
You know what I mean? All that sort of stuff. I'm just like,
I'm wondering.
It just seems a bit meh at the moment rather than. Unorganised isn't the right term because I don't believe the guys aren't working hard behind the scenes, but it just seems a bit pedestrian, is maybe the term.
I'm wondering if part of the problem is because our season finished so late and it was such a quick turnaround to the new season, if I've kind of been caught just a bit short because of that. Whereas we'd normally have a wee bit extra, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. We only had 3.5 weeks to turn everything around, and that's kind of caused a bit of issue as well.
And again, and we can touch on this when we go through the other stuff. Like, and Ali will know from working and from what we do in our world, and you'll have done it from when you've done your being in your world. Your plan A would have been get promoted, season tickets would have went up X, this would have happened, release date would have been this, we're starting here.
Aye.
Plan B is we're here where we are, season tickets are going to be X, blah, blah, blah. To me, it's usually daft. It's a process map. You've got one way or one, and you get to the point where it go yes or no. Are we in League One? No. So follow this one. Are we in League One? Yes. Go to this one. You know what I mean? I know it's making it very simplistic, but you think these things are going to be running in parallel at the same time to go, we're ready to go.
So, I can't really disagree with that, to be honest. Despite all my reservations about Fridays, I've got money burning in my pocket here for the season tickets.
Exactly. I know.
It'll be my last. It's possibly my last as a student, depending if I get to do a PhD. Unless I get to do a PhD, but this could be my last buying as a student. So I want to make sure I can get that concession ticket.
45 year old, and this is going to be your last one as a student.
45
Unbelievable. Seriously, I was a student for 5 years. I don't want to stretch it to 5 years. You've done it for about 25 years.
No. It just so happened I took a different career path. That's all it is. It's a different career path. It's a thoroughly enjoyable career path too. Criminology is a fantastic subject.
Yeah, I can believe
it. I tell you what, there's nothing more interesting than learning about crime. You know what I mean? I did, obviously, my undergrad was criminology and law. Law was brilliant. I enjoyed that far more than I did. I had previously worked in court for Victim Support Scotland, so it was interesting. Law is fascinating. They just went so well together, and even now it's just a fascinating subject. But no, it's not like CSI, right? I wouldn't be going out checking on bodies or anything like that. It's really the cause of crime and what causes crime and all that type of thing. It's more the theoretical behind what causes crime.
You just sit in a room and write papers and look at a whiteboard and draw some buff on it now and again and go, this might happen.
Well, you get to go out and interview people and things like that. You get real world experience.
The equivalent of what we would say in Ali and I's world is just the guys that look at spreadsheets. Nobody that actually does any of the work. You just look at the numbers and think, this was what could happen, but they don't actually deal with it in the front line.
Not quite. You actually go out and listen to people's lived experiences.
Okay.
So you can go into things like prisons and all that kind of stuff and listen to what it's like to be in prison. I listen to victims of crime and all that kind of stuff. I mean, my thesis last year was on victims of crime and offender rehabilitation. But so you get to see both sides of it. It's fascinating. It's interesting. No, that's got anything to do with football or Edinburgh City. But there's a wee introduction to my life anyway, listeners. If you didn't already know, although if you do follow me on Twitter, it's my pinned tweet, so you would have had an idea anyway. anyway, apart from that, anything else before I do the housekeeping? Are we all good?
No, we're all right. It'd be nice to come on the next podcast and
know
moan as much as we have.
Yes, indeed. To be honest, I was like, this is going to be really negative. I don't want it to be negative because I don't think we've ever, I mean, this is now our 10th of the previous 9. I don't think we've ever been really negative. It's kind of been difficult not to be today. So we'll try and be a bit cheerier next time, listeners.
Maybe
crack some jokes.
Chairman Jim did say he would come on, so we're now...
Oh, yes, he did. He did. He did say it. We do have witnesses as well.
Come on, once the league's kicked off...
Yes, once the league's kicked off.
Because, basically, Bob held him over a barrel at that point in front of everybody, and he agreed, so it was minuted, so he's in. We'll try and get Laura on as well at some point from the women's team.
We're trying to get another player in, a couple of player interviews. As you say, we've hopefully got Laura coming on for the women's team, if you can go and ask. We've got there's a player I would like to get on soon. mainly to stop him fucking whinging on Twitter every week. so we could get him on, hopefully. So if he's listening, just be prepared. So anyway, right. You'll know who that is. So apart from that, a wee bit of housekeeping. If you want to join the Supporters Club, as we said before, DM us on Twitter or email us at clubcitizens@yahoo.com. It's the essentially all we need is your email. It's free to join. Essentially, what it's going to be is it gives you hopefully priority for away buses if we do them.
Yeah.
And it gives you a vote for the player of the year. Obviously, we've moved to a new system of a 1-2-3. So it's like 3 points for first, two for second, one for third. It seems to be going okay so far. We've not had too many complaints yet. No surprising where what position of the park seems to be getting dominant already. although in saying that, Carl McCrane's been in the vote twice. So, well, let's see, here you go.
Ali, it's a democratic thing. It's not like
everybody gets a vote.
All right, it's a vote. It's not a Bob Fallon dictatorship.
No.
If
it was a Bob Fallon dictatorship, it would have been Andy Black, Sexy Rab, and Danny Hanlon voting for like being the player of the year, whatever way you want to put it. But it never worked out like that.
Other people have other things.
So there you go. Right, anyway, aye. So if you want to join, DM us on Twitter, email us at clubcitizens@yahoo.com. Best way to get the vote, best way to hopefully get preference for away buses.
Yeah.
If I give another plug to your friend Ash Wilson, his book has been reduced on the Kindle store. That's Good Citizen, Bad Citizen. It's £5. Currently has a half price discount on the Google Play Books. The discount code is, I think if I remember right, is Medibank, capital M, 2021. We do have a tweet out about it, so just double check on that. All information is you'll find us on our Twitter at Club Citizens. You'll see us around the ground. We also have a page in the programme now, so thank you very much, Alec. So we'll try and whatever picture he decides to take this week, it'll be less of flattering as per.
Looking at my watch strap.
He does it deliberately. He absolutely picks it. So like, maybe we should just pull a face to see if he puts that in the programme.
We should do a 1-2-3 and then we can all thumbs up and smile. Alright, so 1-2-3. There we go. He won't pick that.
He'll probably pick it when I was like this or something. So he's like,
I'm turning looking. Oh, he's a bugger.
But anyway, yes, if you can as well, citizens, please do buy the programme. It is a fantastic programme.
Yeah.
60 pages of quality. Great photos for Tommy Lee. Also check out his pitch side camera highlights. They give a good alternative to the main highlights. And you get to hear everything that's going on in the picture as well, usually.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice on Wednesday as well. Just can you still buy a physical programme?
I think you can. They're certainly advertising it for the shopping basket that sells them, so I'm assuming we can.
That'd be nice.
So apart from that, is there anything else, gents? Is that us? Pretty much spilled our guts.
No, I think that'll do for me. Obviously, we should all be there on Wednesday for the final game like that. So yeah, again, like I said, enjoyed being there on Friday, good to be there on Wednesday as well. So
yep.
At least we're back in football grounds and does seem that we're going to be able to do that, but yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, settling in Scotland anyway, the cases are going in the right direction. Yeah. So, fingers crossed. I mean, I believe we're getting a bigger capacity for Wednesday as well.
Yeah,
700 we're getting, which is more than double what we had the first game, which means there's obviously going to be more people on the stand as well, which is good.
Those are restrictions of teams as well.
Level zero.
We're in zero now, so...
Level zero in two hours' time.
Did the pubs start? Yeah. Can the pubs open till midnight now? No. Oh, that's next week. It's for Monday. that's terrible. Eh? But we're a club who's doing ethical promotion and that kind of stuff. Yeah, we're all like, Ali's sitting there scooping a beer, and we're talking about being home.
That's a good point.
Shocking.
But I'm not being sponsored by Angelo Paretti Italian or whatever it was. I picked up from Tesco earlier, so not an ad.
Oh dear. Anyway,
other beers are available.
Should you wish to have a really tasty one, we recommend the Belfield Brewery. Anyway, you'll find them online, good range, gluten free. Feel great in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. we're going to not do that again. We're going to have to get in line with the club. We're going to have to get in line with the club. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so see you on Wednesday. If anybody wants to join the sports club, if you want to see us on Wednesday, rather than emailing us, please do. So with that, it is a good night from Mr. Rooney.
Good night. Stay safe, folks.
A goodbye from Mr. Moncrief.
Cheerio, everyone.
And it's a goodbye from me, the right rev. Goodbye.